are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Well, here we are, continuing this season's theme of confronting and conquering. And this week, we're going to be talking about confronting that crippling and devastating emotions of, you know it, guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. So already, I bet your ears are perked and you're leaning in because this is something we all deal with. But today, we're going to put even a different spin, a new twist on this thing called guilt and shame that we carry, but no one really can see. It's hidden in our heart and slowly trying to eat away at us. Today, we're going to talk not only about the shame and the guilt that we may be carrying from our own past, but listen to this. We are going to have the audacity to talk about the shame and the guilt that we have taken on from those that we love, those around us. I guess today's question might be this. How much of what weighs you down is not even yours to truly carry? I know I had to stumble through that question because, gosh, it really hit my heart. Does it hit yours? How much of what weighs you down of the guilt and shame is not even really yours to carry? You see, here's the secret, friend. The weight of this guilt and the shame that will crush us unless we learn to take steps to let it go, to meet it where it is, figure out what is it that it's supposed to teach us and what are we supposed to do with it. So how do we begin this journey? How do we begin to walk away from the guilt and shame? How can we really say shame and guilt be gone? Well, today's guest is going to help us with that. Her name, Dr. Diane Gardner. Where she's calling from today is California. She's up early today, but she's going to use God's Word and her path and her story to help each and every one of us to walk maybe a couple more steps toward this freedom, to where we can go from what this devastating guilt and shame to the grace that God has given to us. So with great admiration and great honor, it is my delight to honor to our show today, Dr. Diane Gardner. Good morning, Diane. How are you this morning?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm so privileged to be here, Kim.
Well, I'm so happy to have you. I will tell you, your voice just does something to me. Your voice is so anointed, and maybe it's because I know who you are and the walk that you have. And let's just tell the audience a little bit about how we know each other. We both serve on a advisory board for Christian Women in Media. Would you like to share just a little bit about that?
Yes, and I love Christian Women in Media. It says that our theme is that we are called into God's purpose for such a time as this, and we are to influence the culture. And when I first joined, I was an aspiring author. I was in the midst of writing my first book, and I was invited to come to a meeting because they meet across the nation in different cities and on the same day. And I thought, this is a wonderful group. They're serious about Jesus. And so on my way home, I thought, I think I'll go back sometime. And the Lord says, you're going to go back every time because these are your new peers.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I can't believe you said that because that was the same with me. I, oh, my gosh, I I was actually there because we're busy women, right, Diane? We're
yes.
busy women. And
we don't just join
so
anything.
No, we don't. No, because we don't have time, right?
Right?
And so they called me, and I was called and invited by because I'm an author, and they said, you know, this is a great place for you. And I said, well, give me something to do because I'll show up if I have something to do. I don't go just to hang out. I'm just not that kind of gal. And that probably mm-hmm. same with you. And they said, well, we really don't have anything to do. We just want you to come. And I said, okay, all right. Well, I'll think about it. Well, obviously they decided they needed to give me a tour to do for me. So they called and said, you know what, there's a group down there and we'd like for you to do, you know, gave me some little jobs. And so I went and was able to be on Uplift TV, which we're familiar with, and different things. Well, I walked away thinking, oh, my goodness, this is not just another group. This is something I want to be a part of because these are not people who are competing with each other. These are people who are completing one another. And mm-hmm. so I did the same. So it's an amazing group. And in the process of that, you and I somehow both became board members. And through
mm-hmm.
that process, it drew us closer together. So people, our listeners, when you're invited to different things, you never know. Give everything an opportunity if it seems to be of the Lord, because otherwise, had I not gone, I would not been able to meet this incredible woman that I introduced to you now, who is going to be able to truly show us the steps from guilt to grace. And I just, again, am so honored to have you on, Dr. Diane Gardner. So let's just dive right in. Let's just dive right in this morning. This guilt and shame, boy, these are emotions that can just rob us of life, can't they, Dr. Diane?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've always studied Proverbs 31 and thought to be the Proverbs 31 woman. And I noticed in there mm-hmm. that it says she stretches out her hand to the needy. And so it's in mm-hmm. us as women, and one of the ways we're created in the image of the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's another teaching for another day. But anyway, it makes it where we're an advocate. We're like the Holy Spirit is the teacher, the advocate, the one called alongside to help, the paraclete. Mm-hmm. And in Genesis, woman was called the paraclete. And it means you're called alongside to help take hold against. And so it's our nature to see a need. And when you look statistically, the majority of the helping organizations and social organizations were founded by women in their mm-hmm. attempt to help. And so,
right.
I think out of that good side of us is the other side that we're helping when we're not supposed to. we're helping people to carry their burdens. That's what makes us good intercessors. But I'll tell you how I first realized that there was the opposite side of that. My youngest son was a pretty active guy. Well, both of my kids were, and he was more active than his brother, who was already active. And mm-hmm. in kindergarten, he was a leader. He's very smart, so I realized, too, he was probably very bored. And he he got suspended 3 times, and then they said if he does anything else, he's going to get expelled. And being the leader that he is, then the teacher was very young, and he said to the class, she's reading us a story we've heard a couple of times already. And so they were all sitting in a circle. He stood up and he said, anybody who doesn't want to hear this story, put your fingers in your ears like me. So he got the majority of the class to put their fingers in their ears. And she sent him to the principal's office. And so I come in, and so he's in a Christian school that we had fought uh-huh. hard to have the money to put him in this Christian school. And we've been teaching him the word. And so I walk in the door when the principal called me and said, come get your kid. And I felt like the worst failure because I could have papered two rooms in a house with notes from my son's teachers. And I just said, so I walked in, and I guess he could see it on my face. And he set me down. He said, before I bring your son in here, he said, I need you to do something. He said, because I can tell you're carrying the guilt and the shame of his actions. And I, because all the way there, I kept thinking, I can't even keep a Christian kid in a Christian school. What am I doing wrong? Why? What's wrong with me? So I was like, what's wrong with me? And he said, if you carry the guilt and you carry his shame, he won't carry it. And he'll be happy. He said, children are happy to let their parents carry it.
And he said,
so whatever you need to do, you need to go home and decide that you're going to make him responsible for his own actions, and you're not going to carry the guilt and the shame. And so I came home, and I had already been studying like Isaiah 53 and where Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. But I began to delve into it even more. And I made that in a more or less a life's pursuit. And Hebrews 12 says us that Jesus hated the shame while he was on the cross. So here Isaiah 53 said he bore your griefs and carried your sorrows. And then it says he even hated it and he carried our shame. So if he carried that for us, then why am I carrying it? And what we tend to do is there's healthy guilt that leads you to repentance. But the unhealthy guilt is when you're doing what's not your responsibility. They call it false guilt. And so what happened is... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say for our listeners, just so that they understand that guilt, just so that we can separate it out a little bit, that guilt is the emotion about how we feel about a certain action, right? And it relates to the actions in our lives. It relates to us. It's, you know, something we've done wrong, whether real or imagined, that guilt. And then the shame comes from, you know, how we feel about ourselves because of the action. It's more of that eating of the soul, right? It relates to yourself.
Yes.
So just for our audience, our friends who are listening, to understand that we use guilt and shame in the same sentences all the time, and it seems as if they're the same, but really they're so different. One is outward, projected toward others, and the other is that, and guilt, you know, guilt be gone, you know, and but it, shame, and what I hear you talking about, and every parent and probably every friend and anyone who's loved someone deeply who has fallen before us, we feel that. Diane, I give a scenario, and people always laugh, but it's the truth. I would talk about it when I was in New York a couple years ago, and I looked up, and I saw a lady a block away about to step off the curb and fall, and sure enough, she stepped off the curb, and I felt guilty because I couldn't get up there to stop her. Now, that's taking on too much guilt, don't you think? But that's what we do, and so guilt is that I wish I could have done something better, but shame is that thing that just rots us on the inside about how we feel about ourselves. And that's why I'm going so thankful you shared that story and going into the depth of, because this is what rots us from the inside out. This is what steals from us. And it's a silent decaying of who we are and who God has called us to be. So I just went, and both are so toxic, right? They're so toxic to destroy us. So thank you for diving into this with us. Now, I just wanted to make sure that our audience really was able to separate those two out so they can kind of, as you're given this rich wisdom, that they can begin to see which is the shame and which is the guilt in their life, so that what your words can do to minister to that pain, that open wound that they're facing.
Right.
Okay.
When I said to myself, I'm not a good mom because I can't keep a Christian kid in a Christian school, that's shame.
Yes.
The guilt was, I feel responsible for the actions and what has happened. And so the healthy part is, you know, we can be guilty when we do wrong, and then that we should feel bad about doing wrong, and then that leads us to talk to God about it and get over it. But false guilt is being responsible when you shouldn't be. Like you said about you could not have, you, there was no way possible you could help that lady. So feeling responsible when you shouldn't feel responsible. You can feel sad, but not responsible.
Yes. Absolutely. But how many people, and this is why you're doing what you're doing, and I love when you said I made this a life pursuit to understand this. That just really rung bells in my mind. I thought, how many of us are really in a life pursuit to conquer different things in our heart? So I love that. And our listeners, I hope that you really heard that this, most of the things that really come into our lives like this are not like quick fixes. Dr. Diane is saying, this became a life pursuit of mine to understand. So I really love that part, Diane, that you didn't make it sound like really easy. This is something that we work through, this guilt and shame.
Well, about 14 years later, I went through a very, very public divorce. My husband and I had been in ministry together for years. We went to Bible school together. We both got degrees. And we were serving God, you know, with the passion that we knew how. And he began to get lukewarm in his walk. And by that time, we were senior pastors, but he got frustrated. And most workaholics, I've heard, when they hit midlife, it's kind of hard on them because they don't have a hobby or something to throw themselves into. So, and we had spoken across the nation in different states and stuff. So, and we knew many well-known people. So that's what made our divorce so public. In that time, I remember the Holy Spirit reminded me of that wise principle's words. If you do not carry the guilt of his actions, do not carry the shame of his actions. And so obviously then, you know, any kind of guilt would come because I was trying to help him get better, help him get free, help him have his aha moment with God so he could get some sense. I thought his insanity was temporary. So we as women are guilt snatchers. I was trying to help him, and I remember one time I said, I'm going to fast until there's a breakthrough. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the third day into my fast, and he said, you can eat now. He said, because this is between me and my son.
Yeah.
Nothing you do is going to change anything, though you've been able to fast and pray and see breakthroughs before. But right now, this totally his decision, and nothing you do is going to help that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to let go of any guilt or anything that I felt that I could fix or do.
Isn't it amazing how those words came back to you 14 years later?
Yes. And then I wanted to mention 18 years later, so 4 years after that, my oldest son committed several crimes, and they were very serious crimes. And then he left and was ran away from the police, and for 7 months I didn't know where he was or hear from him. And during that time, he was in the newspaper regularly. He was on TV. They had him on America's Most Wanted. There was a talk show back in the day called Montel Williams. The America's Most Wanted guy, John Walsh, was on Montel Williams' show, and he was showing, you know, this guy that's a fugitive, and, you know, so this was constant. And so, of course, then the enemy says, you know, if you'd been a different mother, and your own flesh says that. And then the police scanned our neighborhood many times, and And because it was such a, he became the blight of our community. And so my neighbors stopped speaking to me. I would see people in the store. They would turn from me. And I know that part of it is they just didn't know what to say. You know, if they had, if he had died, they'd have been at my door. But
right.
because he committed
right.
a crime, they just, I was like a person with the plague. And and so I fought consistently false guilt, and I fought shame. I even put it in my first book, Overcoming the Enemy Storm. I put Showdown with Shame was a part of one of the sections in there. And so I warred with it, you know, like I love your theme. We have our conflict and then we conquer it. So my conflict was, am I going to carry? And people were saying to me, well, what did you do? What was your problem? You know, you must not have been a good mother, or they'd say crazy stuff. And so even a friend that was a police officer, the whole police department was saying, you go to that woman's church. And, you know, so what's wrong with her and stuff? And he finally said to them, after they finished harassing him, he said, this guy is grown. No matter what his childhood was like, and he had a pretty good childhood, but no matter what his childhood was like, this is his decision. So, you know, his mother's not responsible for his decision. So I had to look at it and realize I got a conflict here. And I'm not going to let it conquer me.
Oh gosh, that must have been where you dug in and really began to see a change. And audience, friends who are listening, I know that you're all sitting there going, okay, this I've connected with. You know, the two most powerful words that we can hear from someone else after we share our stories, when someone leans in and says, "You too." You too, because there's hope in that. And we're going to take a 30-second break. And when we come back, we are going to hear how Dr. Diane decided to confront this monsters, these monsters of shame and guilt, and decided that through Christ that she was going to allow herself not to be conquered, but she was going to allow Christ to conquer them through his word and through her. So I know that you're going to want to hear this. We're going to come back, and Dr. Diane is going to talk to us about the five steps on how to access grace intentionally. This is a program that I've been so looking forward to, because if we can break the chains of guilt and shame, then we can learn to celebrate the past and see that in those moments, as we were talking before, that these can be the moments that God has brought us to, and maybe to the end of ourselves, so that we can make that vital decision. Who are we going to follow? What are we going to allow happen in our lives? Are we going to go down with this, or are we going to allow the power of Christ within me help me to rise up, not so that I can conquer it, but so Christ can conquer it through me? So, Dr. Diane, hold on. We're going to be back in 30 seconds. Friends, grab your pens, grab your paper, because you're going to want to take notes. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We are so delighted that you are joining us for this hour of Guilt Be Gone. If you would like to come on air, if you have a question, yes, we have a tight program, but we would make room. We would try to. And if not, you can leave a message for us, and we will definitely get back to you. But if you'd like to call in, if you have a question for Dr. Diane, you can simply call us at 347-324-5246 and press 1. You will go into a virtual room, and we'll be alerted that you're on, and we'll bring you on air. That's 347-324-5246. Don't forget to press 1. want you to know that our Burdens to Blessings tour is underway. Incredible things are happening. Burdens to Blessings is the transformational journey to healing that our ministry has been called to. It's the topic of my first book, Burdens to Blessings. Aren't you tired of living with those burdens? Aren't you ready to not only be blessed, but be a blessing to those around you? If you're interested, please call us. We have just a couple more dates for the fall of 2019 tour and already booking the tour for 2020. So go to our website, or you can email Karen@KimCrable.org. We would love to come and minister with you at your church or in your community. I'd like to invite you to tune in to NRB TV to watch Burdens and Blessings with Kim every Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. The show is now airing this transformational journey that truly is just a biblical path of those who, like you and I, are ready to use our past for God's great purpose. So we invite you to join in there. Coffee with Kim is an entirely listener-supported radio. If you'd like to invest in our weekly radio program, it's as easy as going on our website and hitting donate, or you can text radio at 410-376-5855. I also invite you to always join our website, visit us at KimCrable.org. And if you really want to just join the most incredible group, we meet every morning at 9 o'clock Tuesday through Thursday on Facebook at facebook.com/rosiesandrainbows for our live, yes, live devotionals. We'd love to have you join us at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then finally, I want you to know that my new book, Cherished, is going to be out. It's in some of the Cracker Barrels already. It should be in each Cracker Barrel across the nation. Wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day gift. So I hope that you'll go in and look at that 365-day devotional. Make it a part of your life. Give it to someone that you want them to know how much you cherish them and how God cherishes them. All right, well, that's news for today, and we'd love to invite, all of that is to say is that you matter and we want you to be a part of our lives. So come on and join us however way that you can. Now, do you have your pencil and do you have your piece of paper? Because Dr. Diane is getting ready. We've talked about the guilt and the shame. We all know what it's like. We've connected. Now let's talk about the grace. So Dr. Diane, again, welcome so much from California. You were up early this morning because we air live at 10 a.m. So what time is it your time?
Oh, it's about 7:30 now.
Yeah, 7:30. Yeah, it's a lot earlier than ours. So thank you so much again for joining us. And let's just start right off. You talk about You are known as an influencer. You influence the influencers. You're known as the grace expert. You've written books. You speak all around the country. And now we're so honored to have you with us so that you can share these five steps on how to access grace intentionally. How do we go from guilt to grace? What do we do?
Well, the person that I studied that really helped set me free and realize that it didn't have to be just a one-time thing that I felt better this time was Caleb, because I did learn that you cannot make a bad situation feel good, no matter how you try to fix it. You can't.
Yeah.
And so you just have to confront that reality. And and some of the efforts that we're doing is just to try to make ourselves feel better. And so Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, 6 through 15, Caleb began, as I studied him specifically, he became my hero, because I realized one of the things it says in there, Caleb said to Joshua, "You know the word the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses sent me to spy out the land, and I brought back word to what was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y, "I wholly followed the Lord." And then it says later that at 85, he said, I am just as strong as I was at 40, and I want my mountain now. I'm going to go in, conquer those giants, and win. And the reality hit me that if he had, that he suffered 40 years from something he did not do.
Wow.
His relatives caused the problem. And he then
just had a lot of people say amen right there.
So he had to live through constant funerals. All his peers died except Joshua, all of them, Joshua and Moses,
right.
the only two that were left. And so if he was 85 and he had held bitterness, or if he had felt the guilt of their actions, and if he had carried the shame, and if he was overly grieving every funeral that he went to, then he could not say at 85 that he was strong.
Right.
So he learned something about the grace of God, and he learned something about his decision to wholly follow the Lord daily. Because daily somebody died that he knew, and daily he had an opportunity to say, I wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for them and their craziness. So I thought, God,
like
I want to hold.
Yes.
Yep. I said, God, I want to wholly follow you like Caleb. So I don't, and here's what I said, I don't want to ever be hospitalized because of a stress related illness.
Wow.
So I figured I had to find the grace that Caleb had. And we have a better grace because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes, because that's the Old Testament. That's right.
Yep. So the first thing I had to do was squarely look at guilt and shame. And so I could put, it's a thing. I had to realize it's a thing, not just a feeling. It's a thing that's like a blanket.
Yes.
And so I need to name where that blanket has come from. Where does that come from? So it's coming from my feeling about this, or it's coming from me thinking I should do this, or I should have been responsible. And so I've got to clearly confront it. And then I need to confront why I'm keeping it.
Ooh.
Because,
whoa, that's good.
Yeah, because sometimes it's been there for years. By the time we let the Holy Spirit show it to us, it's been there for years, or it's been there for months, or it's been there since this behavior happened. And unfortunately,
Diana,
like when you go...
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
And listeners, the reason that we're talking over each other is because we're not together. One of us is in Maryland and one of us is in California, so it's hard to project. And excuse me so much for interrupting you. I thought I had a leap. But I do feel like this is important, what you're saying there, because I feel like so many times one of the things that we learn during the Burdens and Blessings journey, Diana, is that we take things on, and all of a sudden we've lived with them so long that we just think that's what life is supposed to look like.
Exactly.
And that's what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
You are so right. And so that's a true aha moment, I think.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It really is. You're talking about seeing people's eyes light up, as you know, when we're talking about that truth. And then it goes back to that scripture, the truth will set you free, right? You start to see some freedom happening in there, because we need to go back and realize that, no, this isn't the way my life is supposed to be. This is the crushing thing that's weighing me down. So, okay, and I just wanted to share that really quick, because you hit such a big point right there that I feel like we forget. We think, oh, well, this is what moms are supposed to do, or this is what I'm supposed to do, because we get confused with that scripture about we're to help one another carry each other's burden. Burden is different than shame and guilt, right? So, yes.
You carry that to prayer, but you're not wearing it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that we have to be thoroughly convinced the Word of God is full of power, because How did Jesus, who is the living word, how did he conquer when Satan was trying to get him to be responsible for something that wasn't his responsibility? He said, come on and take on these nations. Take on the nations. Well, Jesus was going to take on the nations, but not now and not that way. And so he's like, see, look at all this. I'm going to give it to you. And how did he didn't say, he didn't go into a big dialogue. He took the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and he spoke it out of his mouth. And he just quoted scripture with intent and purpose.
Okay. Now I want to dive into something right there. I love this part because I believe that what you said there is so important for our listeners to hear. For that person who is sitting there going, okay, I've heard this. Yes, I believe God's word. Yep, I got it. I know. Same stuff I've heard over and over, been around this mountain before. But what you said there, Diane, I think so many people overlook. And it's when you said he spoke the truth. How important is it for us to literally, from our mouth, speak into existence God's word? I'd love for you to talk about the power in not just reading it and praying it, but actually verbalizing that word. Why is it so important for us to speak God's word?
Oh, I love this.
That's something we.
I love this. You know, sometimes I realize I'm mulling it around in the back of my head, and I haven't even opened my mouth.
Yes. Yes.
It's so
I
easy
believe a
to
lot
do
of people
that.
Do that. Which. Yes, it is. All day long I can do that. But it's the speaking, isn't it? That's the power.
Yep. That's why I love James 4:7. That's one of my key scriptures. When I don't know what to do, I pull that out and I use it. It says, submit to God and resist the devil. And I found that 100% of the time in life, it's always right to submit to God and always right to resist the devil. And so how do we submit to God? We say to God, I surrender. I trust you. You're good, even though it doesn't look like it. So you're saying things that are the truth of the word, and you're saying it to God. So how do you resist the devil? The same way, through words. I resist you, and I will not carry this guilt. This guilt is a thing that I am releasing myself from right now, because Jesus bore all that on the cross, so we don't have to carry it. So because of what Jesus did, that's why James 4:7 is so true. So we have to speak the word from a conquering and overcoming a purposeful vantage point, because we're in a warfare, to answer your question. We're in a warfare, and literally heaven and hell is the angels that serve God and the demonic that serves the enemy are both waiting on us to say something, and they'll know how to act.
Yes. It's almost like with our voice, that is our command center, isn't it? We speak it. You see, that's what people don't understand. I love this topic because we think it and we're holding within the power. The enemy cannot read our minds. People think that he can read. He can't read our minds. We have to speak it for that power to move forward, right? God can. Mm-hmm. Now, we sometimes think that he can read our minds, but it's really more of our body language, and he just is kind of used to our routine. He knows what we're going to do.
And our action, and he knows our history.
Yes, that's right. Based on how you handled this yesterday, the enemy says, I bet you're going to do the same thing today because we are such creatures of habit, right? But when we speak that word, we are actually activating the power of God in our lives, aren't we? We are saying to the enemy, no, this is what I believe. And we are setting forth the ammunition to activate the word that is more than the conqueror within us. Greater is he who is in us. We have to speak it outwardly. Don't you think that this is something that's an oversight many times? I know for many years it was for me.
Yes, and what happens too is many times I tell people that I teach and train, and I have a coaching ministry also. I tell them, don't paraphrase on God. Say exactly what he said. Jesus didn't say, well, the word says something like... he said what the word said.
Yes. If I can remember this correctly, don't quote me on this, but I think isn't that how Eve got in trouble? I mean, really, she started paraphrasing.
Absolutely.
Didn't she? So that should
that
show us right there.
That is right. And so if we can understand that the word of God is truly life and death is in the tongue, and that the Joshua 1:7-9, you know, that if we meditate on the word day and night, and then you speak that out of your mouth, that's when you're going to have some good success. But we have to realize that truly the spirit realm is activated by words, and God used words to create. Light, you know, let there be light. He used words to create everything, and we're made in his image, and that's why our words help us be healthier, help us get sicker, help us get depressed, or help us get out of depression, help us carry guilt, help us not carry guilt. All of that help us destroy the enemy's purpose over our lives, or, you know, or not, all through the words. And I remember one time I was just riddled with guilt, and so I was whining. and I heard the word self-pity, and I said, well, just a minute. Well, I still want to tell you, I still have a few more things I want to say. And the Holy Spirit, I could feel he was grieved. And I said, what's the matter? And he told me something that revolutionized my mind. He said, while you're in this place of self-pity and you're carrying this guilt and shame, he said, the words that you're going to be speaking for the next few minutes that you plan on wallowing in it a little longer, he said, it will take me up to a year to undo them.
Wow. Wow.
So if you'll be silent right now and speak the word and speak life instead, you'll begin to move out of this right now.
Wow. Oh, now that's a word. Listeners, I hope you heard that. That's powerful right there. Wallowing words I wrote down will get us stuck. Wow, that is, you know, Diane, I have this little saying that I say to myself many times. You know, if I'm looking around and comparing my life, if I'm thinking just about the circumstance that I'm in right now, if I'm just looking at it through Kim's eyes, I can either find myself in a pitiful situation or a prideful situation. I can look at my life and go, well, gosh, I'm so not where that person is, or I could look at a situation and go, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. Now, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
We can do that when we read the paper, turn on the news. But God says, I don't want you pitiful, and I don't want you prideful. I want you power-filled. I want you powerful. And that's
Amen.
What you've just said to our audience people. And this is who we are. We've forgotten the enemy wants to, and I say the enemy or the inner me, sometimes it's just our own voices, want to take us down with the guilt and the shame, when God is saying, no, those are the things that are robbing you of the life. I want you to be power-filled to complete what I've called you to do. And it takes me back to one of the scriptures that I just thought about, and then we're going to move on to your next 2 points before we – can you believe we're down to 10 minutes, Diane? But
one of
the scriptures that I knew it was going to go by fast, but one of the things that I keep thinking about as you're speaking, as we're talking about speaking the word, and listeners, this is so important, speak that word. It makes me think of Hebrews 4:12, where we are told that God's word is alive and active, alive and active. And so when we speak it, it comes to life and it starts to be activated. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing in this world that is stronger or that cannot be defeated than God's word in our lives, and we can access it at any moment, at any time. Right, Diane?
Absolutely. And it says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes.
So
yes.
I can have good intentions all day long, but I look at the word and I begin to even speak the word over myself, and it will convict me, which is different than condemnation or guilt. It will convict me that, oh, you are in self-pity or you're carrying that guilt. And the word then sets me free when I choose it over my feelings. And in fact, one of my mentors used to say, why do you think your feelings get to have a vote? Your actions
I like that.
Should be intentional and purposeful, not by your feelings. And so that's a good point. And then the other is when you want to really conquer, even if tears rolling down your face, you can begin to praise God through his word. And talk about who he is and who he is to you, and begin to tell the enemy, and or and sometimes I'm talking to my flesh, you're not going there.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I
I'm talking to the enemy. I rebuke every spirit that is behind this. So either way takes talking to.
Yes. And that reminds me of Hebrews 13-15, where we are continuing to offer God what? A sacrifice of praise. That's what you're saying right there, right? Even
when
sacrifice means even when you don't feel like it, like what you said, even if it's through tears.
And then the last point, the last thing is decide that this is a way of life. I'm not fixing a situation. I'm focusing. I'm not fixing. I'm focusing.
Not
so I'm
fixing.
Saying to myself, this is the way I'm headed with my life where this kind of situation is concerned. So then when something comes up again, I don't have to start from ground zero.
Right. You don't have to go all the way to the bottom. And catch yourself on the way down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, the reason I said that is because, Diane, I just finished this 8-week series called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way Down. And it's about...
Oh, that's cute.
Yes. I did 8 people in the Old Testament who fell to hit rock bottom in their calling. And I said, but God, why would you want to call it a funny thing happened on the way down? And funny is an acronym for on your way down, you find the unconditional love of God that no matter how far you fall, no matter your imperfections, you must get up through grace and keep on keeping on. So, and that's what all these people in the Old Testament did. And that's why we do, Dr. Diane, that's why you and I are talking to the people who are listening today. These women, these men, these teens who are so blanketed, as you said, in guilt and shame that they can't even see the calling that God has on their life, and that this guilt and this shame is leading them to do things that they can't even believe that they're doing. They're cutting themselves. They're going out and having affairs just to relieve some of the tension in their life. They are turning to alcohol. They're turning to drugs. At the least, they're just sitting at home not doing what they know God is calling them to do because of the guilt that is overwhelming them. And Dr. Diane, I want you to speak to the listener today who I know as they're listening, the tears are running down their faces and they're saying, but you don't understand. I own this guilt. I should feel guilty. They are so convinced that they're supposed to wear guilt and shame that they can't even see how God is compelling them, how he's saying, come to me, you who are weary and burdened with this guilt and shame, because I want to reverse this. Diane, I know your heart is, I want to see these people be released because of the truth of Christ to
yes.
speak that. So will you speak into their life today what they need to hear? What would Jesus, what would God say to them about the guilt and the shame that they're carrying and about the life that's on the other side of this shame and guilt?
Well, the Lord is saying how much he loves you, and it breaks his heart when we are carrying guilt and shame and making what we call shame-based decisions. We make decisions out of shame, like I had determined to be a virgin, and then I wound up having sex when I was 18, and I used that shame to just give up on myself. So then I became promiscuous, and so it was shame that led me to that decision. And so those kinds of shame is totally an enemy and to God and destructive to us. And so right now, if you'll just realize guilt and shame are things, and they're things like that blanket that you can throw off of you. And so I would encourage you just to repeat after me, in the name of Jesus, according to James 4:7, I submit to God. I submit to the truth of God's word, and I resist the enemy and his works, and I come against my shame-based thinking, and I say, shame, you are a thing. Be gone from me now. I recognize you. I'm confronting you, and today I'm conquering you. Guilt, false guilt, you are a thing. Today I see you for what you really are. And I'm confronting you today, and I'm conquering you today, because the word of God says that Jesus bore my griefs and carried all my sorrows, according to Isaiah 3:4. He carried them on the cross. And Isaiah 53:5 says, the chastisement needful to bring me peace. That crown of thorns is the punishment of my false guilt and the punishment of my shame. Jesus bore it, so I refuse to carry it anymore. So I thank you, Lord, that through the blood that was shed from your crown of thorns, I'm free today. I receive that freedom. I receive it now. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Listeners, I want you to know, if you need any follow-up, if you pray that prayer for shame to be gone, if you're praying a prayer to receive Christ in your heart, whatever it is, please, please, please contact me, and if you need have a question for Dr. Diane, we'll get that to her. For anyone who tried to call in and we weren't able to take the calls, please let us know. You can reach us at kim@kimcrable.org, and I also want Diane first to say thank you for those powerful words, and also, are you open for people reaching out to you? How can we find you, and what books have you written? Tell us, we've got a couple minutes, to tell us about how we can reach you and find out about bringing you to our places to speak or anything that people may have on their hearts today.
Diane Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, DianeGardner.com is my website. And also, my books, you can go on my website and order the books from the website. You can give me your email address, and you can also email me through my website. And my first book, which is my memoirs and the story of a little bit about my divorce and a little bit about my son who committed a crime and he's serving a life sentence in prison, his story is in there. And it's called Overcoming the Enemy Storms. Overcoming the Enemy Storms. And my other book, because I'm so intent on us getting an understanding of what God really is saying and not what we think surely he's saying, is called Increase Your Capacity to Hear from God, Stop Walking in Presumption. So we increase our capacity by letting go of things that we think are true that really aren't. And that's the presumption.
Wow.
So increase your capacity to hear from God, Stop Walking in Presumption is my second book.
Wonderful.
And I'm working on an e-book.
I'm not surprised, and I'm so glad, because it benefits each and every one of us. And I can't even thank you enough for your words of wisdom. I'm so sorry that the time has gone by so fast, but I know that this will be, and listeners, this will go into podcasts for you to play and listen over and over again. I would encourage you with any questions or anything that you have, if you're looking for a good speaker, please contact Dr. Diane. As you can tell, you will never be disappointed because of her wisdom. And what I love is in the position that you're in, that you're also so vulnerable and so transparent. And that's exactly, I believe, the life that God calls us to share the things that we have gone through so that he can truly purpose them. So I thank you so much, Diane, for your authenticity, your vulnerability, and the power in which you speak God's word that has truly ministered to all of us. So thank you so much for joining me. We didn't even into so much, and I want to love to have you back to talk about how you, through the word and practice, or principles, I should say, was able to overcome and be healed of cancer. Will you please come back and talk to me about that?
I would love that.
I love it. Okay, it's a date. We're going to do it. I know our listeners need to hear that as well. So thank you so much for joining us. I love you, and I'll see you in June at our big conference. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've been blessed by the words by Dr. Diane. Remember, she says that if you take on other people's guilt, then you are keeping them from taking on their own. Be free, be gone. And she gave us the five steps there to squarely look grace, to clearly to confront it, to be able to say, why am I holding on to this? Be convinced of God's truth, and then to be able to submit and surrender to God and decide and choose. No fixing, but focusing. Let's all walk away from guilt. Let's say, guilt be gone, and cover ourselves in God's great grace today. Thank you all for joining me for another episode of Coffee with Kim. Remember, no matter where you go, the one who loves you goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is always there just to love you. Goodbye, friends. See you next week on Coffee with Kim. Bye, Diane.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit KimCrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit KimCrable.com.